Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul. My co-host is Justin Baker. And we are officially a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. So, woohoo, yay. Yay for the Hockey Podcast Network. My God, what a bunch of lucky sons of...
Dude, talk about lucky.
We're happy to be a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. And yeah, there's a whole bunch of other hockey shows that... we will now have the opportunity to collaborate with. And so that will just bring you, our listeners, better content. And so we're looking forward to that. But on today's show, we are talking everything trade deadline. I know the trade deadline was 3 days ago now. The dust has officially settled, I think. I'm sure all the rumors come out about, ooh, this player was almost traded. Let's make them feel really uncomfortable about it, Marner. But I think ultimately dust has settled and now these teams are set. We can look at what moves have been made. Some players have played one or two games for these teams. We can see how the possibilities of how they'll be utilized. And we wanted to talk winners and losers. Justin, before we jump in to our winners and losers at trade deadline, what was your feel about this year's trade deadline?
Boy, I wanted to see more big names get moved, honestly, and more goaltenders. That was the most discouraging thing for me. I think we had a couple goalies moved, and unfortunately... you know,
your team was involved in the goalie.
Yeah, I know. That one was a little questionable. But regardless, yeah, always love to see a little bit more goaltending action, especially considering leading up to that, you had a lot of guys like, I hope he's doing all right, but Connor Ingram, right? I mean, he obviously entered player assistance program in Utah. I figured, okay, cool. They're poised to make a move. That's I figured they could use a backup and they want to make a push, right? So you don't want to ride Vilmelka all the way down, but I guess they're going to now. Yeah, not as many big names and goaltenders moving as I'd hoped.
Yeah, the goalie market was like Mrazek and Dreger.
Dreger, but you might as well call him Drencher because he hasn't done much.
Yeah, yeah. He's a minor league goalie who can be serviceable in a call-up. Outside of the one good year that he had with the Panthers, he has not been very good. I think with this trade deadline, the most exciting portion of it was – the fact that so many deals came through with no, it seemed like that's all the deals that are going to happen. Then it was, bam, and deals just kept coming through after 3 o'clock. Yeah. And there was obviously a log jam somewhere, and especially Brad Marchand getting dealt kind of last minute to the Florida Panthers was a pretty epic trade. When you're talking about a guy who's a Hall of Famer, he's been with the same team forever, and he gets dealt last minute at the deadline, and that's just can't make that stuff up,
dude. Now it's almost become like Black Friday, right? Where initially the Friday or Monday, whenever trade deadline used to be in the past, right? It was always just like crazy deals. Everything happened on that day, maybe one or two trades the night before, right? But nothing crazy. Now these last couple of years, it almost feels like it's been a week and a half, 2 weeks, even a couple months sometimes prior to trade deadline
season.
Yeah, exactly. You start seeing more and more like big names getting moved a few weeks prior. And I get it, right? A lot of teams want to have more time with their guy that they make the move for, get him acclimated into the system. It makes sense. But that kind of took away that excitement. And I hate to say it too, took away a little bit of teams overpaying for some guys as well.
And maybe there's a deeper conversation that can be had about the timing of the trade deadline. Mm. Because compared to every other sport, the NHL is very late. The NBA has already had their trade deadline. You know, why do they have theirs so much sooner than hockey? They actually start later than hockey, and they have theirs sooner. The NFL, I believe, trade deadline is week six. Maybe it's week seven now.
Yeah, it's like halfway through the season, basically.
It's very early. And that would be, it's so much different. And it's not like you can be like, hockey guys get hurt. Good Lord, football. Somebody's getting hurt every single game. So right. That can't very well be the reasoning. It's just an interesting culture of let's wait as long as we really can before we cement our teams. Whereas another team, you're halfway through the year. I can see an argument for these teams should be settled by this point. And I think, but it is what makes hockey interesting because so many more teams are willing to trade players because there's not much time left anyway. Like right now, there's 20 games left. Some teams have fewer than 20 games left. So it's not that hard to be like, the last 20 games, whatever. But in the NFL, you can't be like, it's week six. You've got 10, 11 more weeks left of the season. you can't just deal guys for parts because you need players. Same with the NBA. Like, you can't just deal guys. And if the NHL's trade deadline was in January, I think you'd see a lot fewer deals. Because teams would go, A, we're still in the race. And that's a big thing. They're still in the race. And B, we still have half the season left. We need somebody here. Whereas in the NHL, they just go, 18 games left. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll call a few guys up. The Chicago Blackhawks, they just called up their second overall pick. So yeah, it's a different culture, but maybe a conversation to have in the future.
Yeah, it's a good point.
All right, let's get to some winners and losers from this year's trade deadline. Give me your first loser.
Ooh, loser. Okay. Loser. I'm going to go hot. I'm going to go heavy right off the gate. I'm going to say the Boston Bruins are my first loser.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. And why are they a loser? Other than losing a lot of players, why are they losers in your book?
I think part of it has to do with the Brad Marchand trade. Just rewinding the clock a little bit, you come into the season. We know the years they've had the last few years. They've been very competitive, top of the Atlantic Division. They've been a Stanley Cup contender for the last few years. Yep. You come into this season, right, the offseason, you're like, okay, we definitely need a number one center or at least a number two center. And then, of course, we could use maybe a little help on the back end. They go out and they get Big Z. They get Elias Pettersson, or not Elias, Lindholm. They get the pieces, right? We all knew they were going to go after. And we think, okay, this team is definitely going to be in the race. They're going to be there. They're going to be a contender. Season fell apart early on. And they, of course, fire their head coach, bring in a new guy. All made sense, right? But this team is still is in their prime. They still got guys like Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak. And I think just selling off the pieces they did just basically said, this season's done. And you know what? We're probably going to be done for a while, right? I mean,
they made 8 trades.
We don't even know if we're going to be competitive next season because we dealt guys like Brandon Carlo. We dealt off Charlie Coyle, who had terms still left on it. So basically,
Charlie Coyle's, in fairness, they got Casey Mittelstadt. It's not as if they just got a complete bum in return. He's got 34 points. I know he wasn't working out really well in Colorado, and he may not be the ideal Boston Bruin. Maybe he could get there. Sometimes you go to the right place and you get the right people around you, and they can drive home that culture in you and change your mindset a little bit. But to your point, did they just trade their culture away?
A little bit, right?
Who's left that you go, oh, that guy's a Bruin?
Maybe Charlie McAvoy, and that's about it, right?
Yeah. It's not like him and Pasta have been there. It's their team now, but
it is
a team that is led by Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak looks a heck of a lot different than a team led by Brad Marchand and Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. Like, we have officially entered in a brand new era of Boston Bruins hockey because that is some new leadership that's going to happen.
And I get it, right? Eventually, you have to say goodbye to the old regime, move on to the new stuff. But for me, I think just, again, the way they checked out this season, instead of, again, they could have maybe brought on one or two other pieces or even just said, hey, let's ride this out. Let's wait till the offseason. Let's see what guys can produce and maybe see what we can get in the offseason. Because typically that's when you can get, I don't want to say sweeter deals, but you can usually deal guys and get better pieces in return. Because to me, I'm not a huge Mittelstadt fan. And I don't know if I see a lot of success. Unless he's playing with Pasta the whole time, I don't know if he's going to have a lot of success.
If I'm considering what Mittelstadt's ceiling is, I'm probably saying like he could be a 60-point guy in the right scenario.
Sure.
Given the right ice time, put the right players around him. 60 points would be like, wow, we did it. We got him to his ceiling. And now that's not – you don't hit your ceiling every year. You don't even hit your ceiling every other year. So that's where – like he's probably more of an average 45 to 50-point guy.
Maybe. Again, I just think if you go into the offseason and you look at everything as a whole and you say, okay, cool, we need a major reset. We need a major retool, right? Let's not take on term. Let's not take on more money. Let's go into the offseason where maybe we could spend a couple bucks to bring in a guy like Mitch Marner, Ehlers. You could spend money on guys like –
just rip me to shreds if he decided to go to Boston. Go anywhere else. Just don't
go to – I don't think he would. But
go to Ottawa or Montreal or Detroit and like – it would be okay with me. Don't go to Boston.
Wouldn't that be something? But yeah, all that aside, right now, you're taking on more contract. You're taking on more term. So now you're making it harder to do that kind of retooling on the fly sort of thing. And you're taking a chance on a guy who, again, he was put in a good situation in Colorado with a lot of good players. Arturi Lehkonen, Mikko Rantanen for a short time, right? And so he had opportunity to succeed.
There was just a lot of lack of continuity in Colorado this season with injuries and players coming in and out. Sure. And with the ranting and talk, I get it. Like there was just a few players weren't playing maybe to their top and a little bit difficult to play in that and be a new guy coming into that too.
Yeah. But
we'll see. He's going to be there for at least the next two seasons, including the rest of this one.
Yeah.
He's got some potential at least. Out of any player that they acquired, he has the most potential to actually step in and play in their top six, be an impact player.
Sure. Absolutely agree with you. He does have potential. He's obviously younger than Charlie Coyle. But
he's still 26. Right. He's not a spring chicken by any means.
Yeah, I get that. And obviously, the way the Brad Marchand thing went down too, for me, just put a bitter taste in my mouth. I already don't like Boston to begin with most days. But to treat a legacy guy like this, where you heard the rumors, and I don't know how much validity there really was to this, but if there's any at all, it just doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth because he comes to them and says, hey, you know what? I'm willing to sign an extension. Here's what I want. They say no. And then he comes back, asks to speak with management, presidents, whomever, Cam Neely, and said, hey, you know what? I'll concede a little bit. Can you guys concede? And they're like, nope, sorry. See you later. We're not conceding at all. Bye. And I get it. It's a business, right? You're going to have to sometimes make tough decisions. But I think when it comes to legacy players like that, and he's still a quality player, right? He's still no slouch. So if you can get a 50-point guy, I'm sure he was probably willing to come in maybe $6-7 million. I still would take a shot on him for a couple of years, and especially considering what he's given you at the price he gave you.
I understand your concern about the injury that he has right now.
Yes.
As a 36-year-old, you have a pretty nasty injury that's he could be out the rest of the regular season. The Florida Panthers might have just given up a second-round pick for a guy who could play in four games for them. Now, do I think Florida's going to get swept in the first round? No. But he might not make it back by the end of the regular season. If he does, it's for the last few games.
Right.
Is what I'm hearing, which pro athletes can blow estimates out of the water and he could be back in 3 weeks. Who knows? But although, shoot, 3 weeks and we're almost end of the season there anyways. But he's going to be out for the majority of the regular season of what's left, is what I'm hearing. So in that sense, you go, I understand why you couldn't get a lot for him because you're basically paying for him to come and play the playoffs with you.
Well, he cards with the no trade clause, right? So you weren't going to get a ton.
Yeah, that too. Now that could become a first round pick, which if he can become healthy and plays enough in the playoffs, then that becomes a first round pick and becomes a little more palatable. I think if you're a Bruins fan, if that's a first round pick, albeit it likely is a late one, but yeah, the whole thing was strange. Like on the surface, you just go, why did you, was it worth it? Did you really need to trade that second round pick? Like you needed that second round pick so bad that you're willing to kind of make yourself look like a bunch of douchebags.
Well, that's the thing. Now as a free agent, you want to go, do you want to go sign in Boston knowing that management treats legacy guys like this,
treats
right?
A guy like that. Yeah. It's just, and someone who is obviously popular. Like we're not talking about somebody who had used up his capital in town. There's some players who have been somewhere for a long time and it's like, it's time for them to go. And it's okay. Sure. Everybody recognizes it's just time. But, and it wasn't, I don't think anybody would have had any issues with him coming back for 3 years or like signing a 3-year deal with Boston if it was for the right price. But yeah, it's the Bruins, though, as a whole, I don't know if I'm willing to call them a loser. Maybe like in the traditional sense, like that was a really loser move of them to do. I didn't like that move. However, they did acquire quite a few assets. Charlie Coyle is a fine player, but I don't look at him and go, the fact that they got Mittelstadt, a second round pick, and William Zellers for Charlie Coyle and a fifth round pick. That's a pretty darn good haul for Charlie Coyle. Like Charlie Coyle, is he gonna do something for Colorado in the playoffs? Yeah, he's a nice 3C. But I don't think that he's not the guy that he was 3 years ago. And Casey Mittelstadt has the potential to get better. I feel like they gave up on really quickly on Casey Mittelstadt. I mean, he only played like 50 games for them, 50, 60 games.
It wasn't much.
And they bailed on him. And I think that Charlie Coyle, he's not going to put up as many points as Mittelstadt is. At least Mittelstadt's putting up points. I know that Coyle is more responsible defensively. You can use him in a more versatile way, especially come playoff time. But like that trade, to me, Boston wins that trade unless Colorado goes and wins the cup. So that was a good trade. They got a first round pick for Brandon Carlo along with Fraser Minton. Like they got some pretty a decent haul for a guy who's like a fourth, maybe like a number three defenseman, fourth defenseman, who's a full on stay at home. Like he does not leave his home. He is a homebody, Brandon Carlo. And he's not as effective as he was even 2 years ago. The Leafs paid a premium to bring in Brandon Carlo. So I do think they did some good things on this day. However, I think to your point, even if that is true, they spoiled it all at the last minute.
Well said.
All right, let's go winners. One of your winners.
Winners, okay. Gosh, I called this trade already, and I don't want to pick the obvious winner, right? You could just pull Dallas's name right now and just say that. But I'm going to say the Toronto Maple Leafs. You talked about them a little bit. Personally, I like the Carlo move. I really liked it. I thought it's going to help Toronto a lot. I think you can never have enough of those stay-at-home defenseman guys, and we've seen come playoff time, right? You can never have enough of those, and I think especially with the pieces they have now on the back end, there's a lot of more puck-moving guys versus outside of Chris Tenev. So having another one of him is certainly not going to hurt you. And then I really love the Scott Laughton deal. Obviously, I know they needed help down the middle, and having a guy like that who can play 3C, who's responsible, he can move up and down in the lineup if you need him to shift the number two seed for a hot minute. And at that price, $1.5 million AAV, yeah, that's a spicy meatball.
And at least you got them to throw in the couple extra draft picks there, which you can kick down the road and maybe use for something else later on. Yeah, I thought that the Leafs did what they needed to do. Like, they didn't do anything really sexy. Scott Laughton is not the sexiest player, but he's the guy who you can bring in and he'll do a job. And they really needed that. They just had no one that could drive that third line at all. And Max Domi wasn't cutting it. And I think it puts Max Domi in a really bad place when he has to play a 3C type of role. He's just not, that's not him. And they desperately needed a defenseman. And that was just the going rate. Like, you weren't, who else were you going to find that could play D for you? Also, knowing you have to find somebody who wants to go to Toronto if they have any kind of no movement. A lot of players don't want to go to Canada. So you got to find a guy who can go to Canada.
Yep.
And I think that they did that. I thought that they made the right moves. And I was happy for Kyle Dubas, who gets a couple of his guys back, Connor Dewar and Connor Timmins, gets all the Connors over on his team. Everyone born, those Connors, they're all born in like 2000. Everyone was naming their kid Connor back then. Yeah, so I would agree. The Leafs did well. They did what they needed to do with what they had. Sometimes you just don't have the options. Guys don't want to go there, and they have no movement clauses. You can't do anything about it. So right. I thought they did pretty well. I wanted to know, before we go any further, I think we should jump into the biggest trade of the day, which was, of course, Mikko Rantanen getting dealt to the Dallas Stars for a couple first-round picks, and Logan Stankoven. How do you feel about the Carolina Hurricanes? Are they winners? Are they losers? Are they something in between? Like, what? This is one of the weirdest things that has ever happened to a trade deadline acquisition, where, like, within literal days, they are dealt again. Like, he was there for what, all of 30 days?
If that, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's rough. I think however you want to look at the return, and you say, oh, you know what, they didn't get enough for Mikko doing the sign and trade or giving up Martin Nichus, however you want to look at this trade from whatever angle or take it as a whole. To me, I look at this and I say, you know what, we had an issue with Jake Guentzel last year not wanting to re-sign. We had an issue with Mikko Rantanen not wanting to re-sign. And essentially, again, getting the same amount of money. Obviously, state taxes plays a factor in that. But I'm sure if they had to come up another $1 million to keep a guy like that, they probably would have. But the fact that both of these superstars didn't want to sign, that leaves me a little concerned with management there. Obviously, I know they have a new GM, guys taken over, but same ownership still. They're still mostly the same brass that's there. So
I think you're talking like ownership issues, right? Over like management can only do so much.
Exactly. And I know Tom Dundon, I believe is his name, the owner in Carolina. Right. He's very much involved in the management side of things, right? He likes to be a little bit more hands-on than most owners, which I think is sometimes a good thing, most of the time a bad thing. But in this case, it leaves me more concerned for Carolina to say, hey, you know what, if we get big name free agents again, or opportunities to take swings at big names at the trade deadline, do we even want to bother spending the capital over the next couple seasons? Because we know that they ultimately just don't want to re-sign here. So is it going to be?
You got to find out, like, why don't players want to sign here? Mm-hmm. And I think some of it has to be, they have a reputation of being stingy.
Yes.
That's got to be some of it. Hey, if you go there, they are going to come up with a number for you and they will not move. And then you'll just be gone if you don't want to do that number. And maybe it's not an issue for Rantanen. I imagine he was going to get money. Like, it was pretty clear they brought him in thinking they could sign him. And I don't think they were like, let's trade for him and convince him to sign for $10 million. Like, it wasn't a scenario like that. I think they offered him a legitimate offer, probably very similar to what he accepted in Dallas. I think it's for the other guys. Like, is he looking down and going, you didn't sign Dougie Hamilton. You didn't sign like several players down the line over the years where you go, you didn't really make the effort to keep certain players. Like, you weren't even willing to pay the extra $1 million to keep the guy around that really could have helped the franchise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it would make me wonder, if I'm a player, if you're a high end guy, you're getting paid. But what about the rest of the guys? Are we gonna nickel and dime everything and lose players because of that? And shoot, if your option is to go to the Dallas Stars and be under Jim Nill, a guy who I know they haven't won a cup, but they have just been there for a long time. And they have switched over. The players who were stars when they went there in 2020, it's all different. I know Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are still there, but that is a very different team.
Yeah.
And he drafted and he built that team on the fly. Like, how many teams can say we went to the finals and then we went again with a totally different team 4 years later? And like, we produced all those players from our system. Like, he is, it almost, you know what it makes me think? Ken Holland was always this, oh, look at everything that he did. Like, he built this system underneath and they just had so much talent brewing that they could let guys stew in the minors and bring them up. And they were, I think it was Jim Nill. Because Jim Nill was the assistant GM. Yep. He was the one who was in charge of the draft. He was in charge of scouting. He told me personally, like, I went to Russia. I was scouting these guys and going to places where no one else would go. And that's like in the 90s. And I wonder how much was him. Like, now that we're looking at how the Dallas Stars run their organization versus how the Edmonton Oilers were run when he went over there and how the Red Wings were run once Jim Nill left for Dallas. Like, the Red Wings just started, they signed guys.
That's when they gave Darren Helm and Abdelkader 15-year deals.
And it seemed like at that point, think about who actually came up through their system after Jim Nill left.
Dylan Larkin. That's about it.
Larkin. And Larkin was like, he didn't come through their system. He played at U of M and then he started playing for the Wings. Like, he was a great pick. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't really, and he was developed at the pro level. He didn't have to go through the minors and do that whole thing. Whereas, and the Dallas Stars just seemed to have that same kind of vibe that the Wings had in like 90s, 2000s, where it was like, we know how to produce players. We pick our guys and we turn them into what they can be, the best that they can be. And so it always makes me wonder, how much was Jim Nill actually the brains? Not that Ken Holland did nothing by any means, but what impact did he have that maybe we don't recognize?
He gave up a lot of draft capital to get Mikko Rantanen, so we're going to see how good of a drafter he really is now.
2 points in his first game with the Dallas Stars. So already working. And, oh my gosh, like him on the power play, that rocket that he had from the circle on his goal. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm excited. This will be fun.
Okay. Before we get to more losers, let's take our break and read our things here. I'll cut that part out and we'll just go into it. So yeah, okay. You go ahead and read your script, and then when you're done, I'll read mine.
All right. So Mark, this NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, right? But that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for the first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your bet. And if you are new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Love free money. Now here's the call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet $5, just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario, new customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance issuance. For additional terms and responsibility, gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. NHL and the NHL Shield are recognized trademarks of the National Hockey League. NHL and NHL team marks are the property of the NHL and its teams. Copyright NHL 2025, all rights reserved.
All right. Good work. That was a lot of numbers.
No practicing.
That was a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
And if there's any word that you messed up on, I can actually just go in and change the word and it'll just use your voice and use AI to switch it.
You're a gem.
Yeah. Okay. My turn. Hey, hockey warriors, ever feel like your off-ice training is stuck in neutral while your game deserves overdrive? What if I told you there's an app that's like having a world-class strength coach in your pocket without the $500 price tag? Let's talk Alpha Progression. Look, we're all about no BS hustle here. That's why Alpha Progression is the ultimate wingman for packing on muscle. Built by competitive bodybuilders and backed by science, this app cuts the fluff and delivers laser-focused programs to make you stronger, faster, and harder to knock off the puck. It was actually the two-time Apple App of the Day, and it dominates Germany as the top-rated fitness app, and now they are bringing it worldwide. They have custom plans for hockey-ready muscle. You just tell it what gym you're in, what equipment you have, and it will create an entire program for you. I've actually been using it for the last week. It's been really awesome. It like tracks your rest periods. So if you're resting for too long, you're lazy like me, and you're like, oh, it's been 2-3 minutes since I did anything, I'm still swiping on my phone. It gives you a notification and says, your rest time is over, you lazy sack of... No, it doesn't say that. It says, your rest time's over. It has smart progression too, which is really cool. It'll tell you, oh, based on what you did last week, here's the weights that we think that you should do for this rep range. It's awesome. You can log all your workouts. And right now, Alpha Progression is hooking up you with 20% off, our listeners, for your first payment. You can go to alphaprogression.com/overtime to unlock the 2-week free trial. That's $12.99 a month, or it's $79.99 a year. It's all less than the cost of Justin's post-game beers. And go check that out. AlphaProgression/overtime. We want all our listeners to be in shape, because you know what? It means you'll be alive longer. And when Justin and I are still doing the show and we're 93 years old, we're going to need people that are like, I've been watching this show for the last 70 years. All right. All right, let's get back to our losers. Who else do you have as a loser here, Justin?
I hate to say it, but my Detroit Red Wings, honestly. I don't want
to... I think they're the biggest loser of the day, to be honest.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah, they're up there. That's for sure. Top 3 loser of the day for me. instantly. But listen, the biggest reason for me is, again, we all know that they're my go-to team, right? And just having watched what they've been through this year, changing coaches, the streak they've been on to try to climb back into the playoff race. And I know Steve Yzerman does not like to overpay for assets. Really, you make a couple moves, and really all you do is you take on a little extra salary as part of a third team, and you bring back Peter Mrazek and Craig Smith, and essentially you're giving up a 25-year-old that, yeah, I know he just probably wasn't in the cards. He wasn't going to work out, and we've been struggling to find a fit for him. But to give up on a guy like that, a first-rounder, so quickly and really bring on more salary as a backup goaltender in Peter Mrazek, that hurt. And then not only that, but then, again, going back to what this team's been going through and how they've climbed back in, and you don't go out and make a move or don't bring in something for them to say, hey, you know what, guys? Here's a little help. You guys have just you've worked hard. You made moves. You've climbed back in there. But here's the reward. Craig Smith. That's just that's your reward for good work. And then, yeah, to me, that just was like just so disheartening. I wasn't expecting them to go out and try to pull off a move and bring in Mikko Rantanen or even Charlie Coyle, big name like that. But would have liked to have seen something. Even like Brandon Carlo would have been nice to have on the back end to help solidify that deal.
That would have meant you would have had to trade your first round pick. Would you be okay with that? And that Yzerman basically said, I wasn't going to be okay with that. I'm not trading a first round pick to make the playoffs.
No, and I wouldn't expect them to, because we're not really in that position where if you get into the playoffs, right, you could make some noise. We're not one of those teams similar to Columbus, maybe even Boston, if they had gotten in, right? They weren't going to make any noise. But
you're not like the New York Rangers going, I know where we are in the standings. We need a bump to get in the playoffs. But if we get in the playoffs, we could legitimately go to the finals.
Right. Like, absolutely.
We could find ourselves. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Even spending a couple second rounders, maybe even shipping off, again, a Joe Valeno, right, to bring in something of significance back would have felt nice.
Yeah. Okay. So on the Craig Smith portion, Craig Smith actually is having a very underrated year. He's played really well. And his numbers, especially possession numbers, like things are up for him. Things are going well. And I think he will be a good fit for Detroit. Detroit did need some help in their bottom six. No, nobody can score in their bottom six. At least Craig Smith brings some ability to score when there's not much there. He's got 9 goals in 40 games for a bad team. But a guy who can score a goal every fourth game, that's more than Detroit's getting from some guys down in their bottom six. So that helps. The Mrazek, that one just doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
no.
He's at 14 goals saved below expected. Like, he is in the negative.
He's on a bad team.
His goaltender, what's his, who's the guy who plays in Chicago? Arvid Soderblom.
Oh, yeah.
He's at almost 5 goals above expected for Chicago. So, yeah, you can have bad stats elsewhere because so many good chances are happening against you. But that's the point of that stat. Like, it just shows you how bad Mrazek's been.
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, a big trade that I would have liked to have seen maybe Detroit make was like Vancouver and New York, right? They traded Carson Soucy to New York for a third-round draft pick, right? I would have liked to have seen something like that for Detroit, where you bring in something he's a 4 or 5 defenseman, and you say, here's a little help, a little relief on the back end, just to say, great job, guys.
Yep. Or like the Kings. They went out and they got Kuzmenko. He would have been like, Kuzmenko has scored 30-plus goals in this league. I know he's not doing it right now, but there's some possibility there. And they didn't give up too much to go get him. They gave up a 3rd-round pick, and they even got a 7th-round pick in return. No, I know $5.5 million in cap space. But Philadelphia held half of that. He is a UFA at the end of the year, but a 3rd-round pick, like, it seems like you should be willing to pay a 3rd-round. I understand a first. Leave your 1st-round alone, even your 2nd-rounder, but a 3rd-round pick to bring in a guy who could maybe score 5 to 8 goals through the rest of the regular season wouldn't be so bad. That's the kind of move I was hoping they'd make. And the move that they made was completely puzzling. Completely puzzling. I don't know why they want Peter Mrazek. I have no idea.
I mean,
he's not good. He is not good at all.
No, he's a number 3 goaltender. That's what he is at this point in his career. And I think that's why, obviously, Chicago was more than happy to bring in Spencer Knight. But in all reality, you know that Alex Lyon's probably leaving this season, right? But I would much rather see the Wings take a chance in free agency, or make a move in the offseason.
$1 million. Like,
I know. It's a lot of money to take on. And who knows, maybe their plan is to buy him out in the offseason. Maybe they're thinking ahead that way. Even if you're buying him out, it's still going to cost you something, right?
So he sees something in him that no one else sees? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that was a strange one. I did not like their deadline, and it just doesn't – it doesn't look like – every game, it seems like Detroit just – it gets worse. I went to the game against Carolina on – it was like last Tuesday. After that game, it was funny watching that game. I turned to the guy that I was with, and I was like, dude, Rantanen's getting traded. He looks like – he wants to be anywhere else right now. He was coming down the middle of the ice, and he went to drop the puck back and just dropped it back to absolutely no one. There was no one behind him. It was the weirdest.
He's expecting Cale Makar back there, but he didn't show up.
And he just left. Like, he just skated off the ice after getting bumped. And you can tell when a player is totally checked out. Like, he would get the puck and wouldn't do anything with it. And what wasn't going. And now he's a guy who can win some battles. Like, he at one point in his career was one of the best 50-50 puck guys in the league. I mean, you could not win a puck battle with him in the corner. And I think that's gone away a little bit, but I wonder if that's, hey, I want to make sure that I have this next contract locked up before I go and try to hurt myself. But he looked so disinterested. But on the flip side, Detroit looked lost in that game. The whole second period. Now, I do have a problem when the crowd boos. Just, I don't like how my team's playing. Let's boo them.
Right.
Like, I don't love that. But the crowd was booing hard. It was fun. I don't think I haven't been at a game for the Red Wings where the crowd boos that often and they are booing the Wings. It was like people were pissed. But now I was like, this is what Carolina does to teams. They make decent teams look terrible. They make good teams look like, what's happening? Why aren't we playing better? That's just how they play.
Yeah.
That's their style. They really hamper you. But Detroit just didn't look like they were that interested. And I get it. It's a Tuesday night, 59th game of the season. I know it's hard, but those are the games you got to win. And they did come. They ended up coming close. Fortunately, Carolina couldn't get much going either, but it was just a slog game. It just was slow and boring. When I was watching them, you go, this team is not good. They're not a good team. Like, they could make the playoffs. Like, I would say Washington Capitals last year, they were not a good team, and they made the playoffs.
Right.
The Red Wings are not a good team. They just are not. Their power play is really fun to watch, and that's about it. And their power play has carried them up to this point.
Yeah. Yep.
So I do understand why Steve Yzerman is, I don't want to give up a bunch of picks for this, but at the same time, didn't you build this team a little bit? Like, you have had a hand in it the last 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
I understand. Those first probably like 3 years, he just had to get rid of guys. But there should be something to like here. And I'm still not feeling like there's a lot to love.
There's glimpses,
Lucas Raymond,
right?
Marine Sider, but that's been the case for 5 years. We're like, yeah, we like those picks, and not much else. Yeah,
Prospect, Joe
Valeno
cool.
was an Yzerman. Valeno's an Yzerman pick.
Is he? Yeah.
Was he? He was the same year as Zadina. Is that his name?
Oh yeah, Philip Zadinov.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Zadina. Yeah. He's the same year because that was the Wings had the 29th overall pick or something like that from one of the trades that they made at the deadline. And Valeno fell to them. I remember Valeno was like maybe 18th, ranked 18th or 20th or something like that. And he fell all the way to them and they picked him.
Yeah. No, this was the last Kenny Holland draft. Valeno.
Oh, that was the last Kenny Holland. Okay. All right.
I'll give him a pass.
Well, it further proves my earlier point about Jim Nill. Look what happened when Ken Holland was left to his own devices.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I will say for Yzerman, he has built a very respectable prospect pool. It better start turning into something nice really quick.
Yep. Man, I know there's a lot of fans out there who are like, Yzerman should be fired if they don't make the playoffs this year. And to that, I say that's nuts. No. But next year, we start to creep into that. If we're seven
See,
years.
It gets a little hot.
I mean, they were 1 point out of the playoffs last year. Like, you know, that's so close. They're right there. And they're probably going to be right there again because it doesn't seem like anybody's going to run away with this thing anyways. But it's got to be a little depressing from the Wings standpoint to go, really? You gave us Peter Mrazek? That's what we needed?
Well, definitely. Listen, he's on his second head coach now. Technically his third, but really his second pick.
His second pick, yeah.
You know, so this is when you have to make or break it at this point.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Avalanche? You have them as winners. If we include the Rantanen trade.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and say they were losers of the Rantanen trade, right? Obviously, Martin Nisius is not the player Mikko Rantanen is, but
sure, not, looks like it.
Well, he looks good.
16 points in the first 15 games. He's fitting right in.
He looks very good. I'll give you that. Is he going to be a 50-goal scorer, Rantanen? No, but you know what? I'll say this much. Assuming that there really was no way for them to get this deal done and they moved on, right, and made the right decision, it clearly looks like they got a good quality player in return. And then looking at the deadline, right, I think going out there and you get Charlie Coyle, getting rid of Casey Mittelstadt, you bring in just Brock Nelson, right? We talked about him. We haven't talked about him. But for me, the biggest what made Colorado a winner to me was just bringing back Eric Johnson. So
I did like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And even it was funny, like MacKinnon was like, yeah, he's not going to play very much, but he's just so good in the locker room. We just love him.
Who cares? He's a seventh defenseman on this team. It felt great to see that. I never really liked too much about Colorado, but I'll tip my cap to them.
Yeah, that's true. This is like talking about the Bruins for me. Shoot, you go from, I mean, Mittelstadt isn't awful. It would be better if Mittelstadt was your 3C. Now he's out. Charlie Coyle's in and Brock Nelson's in as well. Now you're talking MacKinnon, Nelson, Coyle as your three centers. So in one trade deadline, they basically reshape their top nine completely because those two centers are going to change those lines significantly. And for the first time since they won the Stanley Cup in 22, was it 22?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the first time they have three real centers, three legitimate centers since Kadri left. They've been looking really for two centers, but definitely since that time, they have not found that those spots. So that is huge for Colorado. I think out of any team, they changed their team the most. Yes. Did Toronto have a nice deadline? Did they get the guys they needed? Yes. But did it change the face of anything? No. I think like Florida, they go out, they make some good moves. They bring in Marchand. It's fun. It's cool. But they didn't change the face of their team. They still have the same guys that are driving that whole entire team. The Avalanche, yeah, you still have MacKinnon, but you know, you flipped Rantanen, you brought in Nietzsche's, you now have Brock Nelson, you've got Charlie Coyle. Like, those are some big pieces. All of those guys could play in your top six. I know they won't have that happen, but they really changed the face of their forward group over the last 24 weeks.
Yeah.
And especially at deadline.
Yeah, so here some breaking news. Speaking of changing the face of a team, while we've been talking here, thank God they traded for Seth Jones, because if you have not heard already, Aaron Ekblad has been suspended 20 games for violating the NHL and NHLPA's PED program.
Oh, boy. 20 games. That's the rest of the year.
Rest of the season for him. He is gone.
Wow.
Performance-enhancing substances program he violated.
What do you want to bet? He's like, I didn't even know that powder had stuff in it.
Yep.
He's had a lot of weird injuries. A lot of times when guys get injured, they hop on something, not necessarily on purpose, not trying to break the rules. And they end up with other things in their system because they get it from strange places. But who knows what happened? I'm sure we'll find out more. I love when we break news on our podcast.
Well, here's what he said in his statement. He said, the news that I failed a random drug test was a shock. Ultimately, I made a mistake by taking something to help me recover from recent injuries.
I didn't even know that.
Without first checking with the proper medical and team personnel.
That's exactly what happened. See, that's all. It seems to be the case. You get injured and you go, there are stuff that you can, like, legitimately work. So you get, like, some form of a human growth hormone that helps your tendons and your muscles to grow back more quickly. And it's not sold as that. You get bit. You done got bit there, Aaron Ekblad.
Whoops.
And it only costs, what does he make a year? Seven and a half?
Seven something, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll only cost him like $1.5 million. That's a big woo. $2 million mistake there, Aaron.
Whoops.
So he'll be back for the playoffs, though.
Yeah, he'll be back for the playoffs, but...
if they make it.
This might hurt. I don't really know how much it's going to hurt their chance.
Dude, it's going to make... He's going to be, like, incredibly healthy, walk right in, and people are going to be like, the Panthers got a healthy Marchand and a healthy Ekblad and a healthy Kachuk who haven't played in 20 games. They look like it's game one of the regular season right now, and they're, like, perfectly... They're feeling great. No bumps, no bruises. They're gonna cruise on whoever they play in the first round.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. So you lose Ekblad. Obviously, he's your top... He and Forsling were your top defensive pairing, whatever you want to call it. I wonder how much this might hurt their chances to lock up that number one seed, because I'll tell you what, I picked Toronto to win that at the beginning of the season because I do not want to have to play Tampa in the first round. That's all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, no, for real. And the Panthers, up to this point, they've won 6 in a row, lost a couple in a row, but a game in hand on Florida, 4 points back. Yeah, it's... Ekblad is maybe a little less important than people think. Aaron Ekblad, the first overall pick. He's a great defenseman, but you're like bringing in Seth Jones. I think they'll be okay from that standpoint. It hurts, but they'll be able to figure it out. They're not going to miss the playoffs or anything.
No, not at all.
18 games left.
Yeah, Ottawa's not sneaking up on anybody. I'll tell you that much.
No. Yeah, it'll be... I sure hope that Toronto can grab that top spot. Like I think that's the one thing they haven't been able to do. It's like, get that top. Did they have that top spot when they beat Tampa 2 years ago? No.
No.
Nope. Boston Bruins. Yeah. When's the last time the Leafs won their division?
Oh, gosh. Like,
it's got to be 100 years ago.
I'm scrolling back. I want to see.
Last time Toronto Maple Leafs won their division. Like,
2002 maybe?
Not even the Stanley Cup. Division championships, they won it in 2021. Oh, yeah. That was the COVID year, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. 2020, oh, yeah, that they won their division. Remember, they won it the year that it was the Canadian-only division.
Oh, yeah, the Scotia.
And then they played Montreal and dumped the bed. Lost the last 3 games in a row. Yeah, yeah. Or they lost.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, I would say you're right. That one really just doesn't count. Yeah, that was a strange year. And there was also not that many good Canadian teams walking in, although the Leafs lost to them. Yeah. The last time they won the Atlantic then was 99-2000. And before that, 1938.
Stop.
How has a team that's won the Stanley Cup, 12 times?
13.
How have they won their division 6 times? That's hilarious. And they won their division in 33, 34, 35, and 38. So they went 62 years without winning a division. And now they've gone... It hasn't even been that long since they won the cup.
Wow.
Weird thing. They're just like, regular season.
Maybe.
That's wild. So all those teams, they had a team that won the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row. That team didn't win the division once. That's unbelievable.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
I did not know that. They learn something new every day. They have never won their conference, and they've never won a President's Trophy.
Now that I did know the President's Trophy.
That's not surprising, knowing how little they win the division. You got to win your division to win your conference. That would be important.
Wow.
So, all right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Man, just, you know what? Can't wait for the rest of the season to play out. I'm really pulling. Obviously, I know they were my sleeper pick to win. They were my pick to win the Stanley Cup, the New York Rangers. They get in. We'll see what happens there. And as I called it a couple shows ago, would love to see the Rangers and Wings in the wild card.
I'm pulling for a Leafs-Wings first round. That's what I've been pulling
for.
Give
it to me.
Sure looks less and less likely every day. But hopefully Mrazek can... Just find 2011 Peter Mrazek. When was he on the Wings? Like 2013, 14,
yeah.
Somewhere in there?
It's been a few years.
Early 2000, early 2010s. He's 33 years old. So he obviously was.
Yeah, 17, 18 is when he got dealt to Philly from Detroit.
Okay. Yep. Yes, good old Peter Mrazek. And he had a year with Detroit where it was like, oh, Peter Mrazek could be their goalie of the future.
Yeah, 54 games, .921 save percentage.
Yeah, but, there it was, 15-16. Yeah. Yep, and 14-15, he had a good year backing up. Oh, who would have been? Jimmy Holland.
Oh, gosh. Jimmy Howard?
Jimmy Howard, yeah.
Holland. Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking about Ken Holland so much.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he looked all right in Carolina, too, for a hot minute.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Gosh, he could never stay healthy. That's for sure. Which seems to be Carolina's issue with goaltenders always.
And, yeah, for real. And he left Detroit because he just was a little bit of a head case for a little while.
Yeah.
He just couldn't line up. And that was Mike Babcock was there for some of that, remember?
Maybe that was why he left.
Babcock didn't like him. Glenn Babcock left. Yeah, he left because of Mrazek. I'm going to go to this team that's terrible. I'd rather be on the Leafs than be with Mrazek. Oh, dear. All right, that's our show. At OT Hockey Talk on X and on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the show, and we'll talk to you guys soon.